Okay, so I'm going to take a slightly different approach to my presentation today. What I'm going to do for you is to give you an overlook of a series of papers and preliminary work that I have on technology adoption. So my name is Ariana Torres. I'm a faculty at Purdue University. Got a joint appointment between AgEcon and Horticulture. A little commercial. I do have Twitter, so I have an extension program out there, so you guys are more than welcome to check what are the presentations we have. So what I'm going to try to do today is convince you that markets are actually very important for farmers to adopt technologies. So I'm going to go back to the first presentation and talk about farmers now, not so much about consumers. So the specialty crop industry, this is by the latest census, I think February the numbers were released. We see a very good increases, and that makes producers very happy. Increase of 15% for vegetables, a higher increase for fruits, and a slightly less increase for horticulture crops and cut trees. So when we see that, okay, the industry is growing. If the industry is growing either because growers are being more productive, we have new growers, acreage is increasing as well. Where is that coming from? Well, we see that there are a bunch of health trends out there. We see that right now, if anybody likes sweet potatoes, you can see that it's the best carb right now. And so people want to eat sweet potatoes or kale a couple of years ago, the whole juicing thing. But also we see the consumer's concern for the source of food. And there are initiatives that are federal and state-led initiatives. My plan, Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food, and all these trends. So when I look at farmers, and this has been part of my work, I see two big changes with farmers. So either farmers become, we have the small farmers who are going to market things locally. So we're going to have the whole local foods, farm-to-fork kind of movement, where farmers sell directly to consumers. So think about farmers markets, food hubs, farm-to-restaurant, or farm-to-fork, which is the one I have. Or we have the small farmers also looking for intermediary markets. So we're looking into institutions, hotels, etc. They tend to be small, diversified. But we also, all these trends are also telling us that farmers are also becoming bigger. So we have the opposite, in which farmers are intensifying, are specializing, and they are getting mergers and land acquisitions. So they're relying on economies of size, industrialization, and specialization. So when we look at these farmers for the specialty crop industry, here's just a photo of what do we see? How do consumers are seeing this? So we see more and more at the market. We see a lot of salad kits and ready to eat and ready to cook in the microwave meals. But also we have these local Indiana, for instance, Indiana Ground, which is the state that I'm coming from, that we see that consumers are demanding more and more fruits and vegetables. So when we look at the literature, why do farmers adopt technologies? So the first thing that we think of are financial motives. Primarily, it's increasing profitability through either increasing production, spreading risk, or decreasing cost. The second are environmental motives, so become more resilient. So how climatic changes can affect farm operations, so they adopt a technology to lessen that. And the third are attitudinal and philosophical motives, which is more and more common into the literature of technology adoption. So that's entrepreneurial mindset, philosophical attitudes. I feel connected to my community, so I want to grow this. But then why farmers do not adopt the technology? I think as important as looking at why farmers do something is why farmers don't do it. And there are primarily two reasons. They're unable or they're unwilling. So the inability is either cost, information, the availability of the technology, and the requirements that involves adopting a technology. And the unwillingness, it's again, we go back to the attitudinal and philosophical motives, so attitudes, planning horizon, or poor applicability. So what I'm going to present you is a series of papers that I have published with co-authors that look at that and try to convince you that actually markets and access to markets is very important. So if we don't help farmers to access those markets, and if we don't understand what are the philosophical attitudes and how that drives their adoption of technology, we can have 25,000 technologies that are not going to be used, and they're not going to increase profitability. So this is part of a project with Orlando, a graduate student working with me. This is we just got that data. We surveyed farmers, specialty crop farmers in about 30 states here in the U.S. And basically what we did is our project is to understand what are the value-added technologies. So we need to understand who are our farmers, right? So specialty crop farmers, many of them grow fruits, but also many of them grow fruits and veggies, and herbs are not a part. So this is just a picture of what are the crops they're growing. And we can see that actually the diversification is really high. We have, in a previous survey, we had the farmers grow anything between 5 to 40 crops in a given year. That's a lot of risk if we go back to the first presentation. But that's a lot of technologies they can adopt. So if we understand where they're coming from and what are their barriers, I think it is important to have technologies that actually make them more profitable. So they're being adopted. So the project is looking into value-added technologies. So we wanted to know, and we're still working with the data, we want to know how many farmers are washing, cutting, and drying produce. This was an IFA project that looking into value-added technology, specifically drying. So majority of farmers that are adding technology, they're washing or they're drying, and we're going to look into why they do and why they don't do it. So that's another. I have not done any modeling, but I just wanted to give you a little picture of why farmers are not adopting drying. So in the first, so we have five groups of farmers. So we ask all of them if they have dried, if they have not dried, if they're considering or they stopped drying. And we ask them the same barriers to understand. So these are the people who never dried. And what I see is that actually their barriers are smaller than people who are actually drying or considering. So to me, it tells me they're not willing. So they don't want to dry because their barriers they perceive are not very high. But what they don't want to dry is they think that cost and market access and also labor requirements are really high. And those are very important issues, I think, for any technology. But when you're considering, you're actually perceiving these barriers higher. And there's not a statistical analysis here, but I wanted to show you a little snapshot of what's going on. Same barriers if you're drying. So if you're actually doing or thinking about doing it, something, adopting a technology, you're actually perceiving it higher. And we found the same with a paper on organic certification. Those who are certified tend to perceive barriers at a higher level, and that's significant, which means that they're willing to overcome those barriers, and they're willing to have ways to adopt technology and still be profitable. And then we also know who has stopped. And they basically stopped because of the cost of technology. So policy implications thinking is, what technologies do we have for farmers? And that's gonna vary. We know that the specialty crops, as the first presenter said, tend to be smaller, but we also have big wholesale market sellers in the specialty crop industry. In Indiana, we have a big tomato industry who basically they sell to Red Gold, the canning, tomato canning. So we do have farmers who can be, and if they associate, so think about food hubs and cooperatives, they may be able to decrease this barrier. So markets, something important to me is that when you're considering or adopting a technology, actually market becomes less of a barrier. So that means that markets, again, reinforcing my point, markets are important. So now I'm gonna guide you through a series of papers that we've published, some of them this year, and I'm looking at different populations of the specialty crop industry. I work with fruit, vegetable, herbs, and ornamental, and now turf grass growers in my program. So in this case, we published this with Susan Barton and Bridget Behe this year, I think March, and basically we looked at, and I see technology adoption as anything that alters the production or the marketing of a product. So a value-added technology that has been altering the marketing, I see it as a value-added technology adoption. So we looked at the online advertising strategies. You can read the paper and you can find what we did, so I'm not going to get into the details. But basically, online marketing, I think everybody has Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter here, correct? Who doesn't have? Yay. No social media? This is the first time that this happened to me. No, that's awesome. That's great. So when we look at consumers of green industry businesses or buyers of green industry businesses, which can be different, we see that a lot of people, well, if we look at the American population, most people have used social media. So we wanted to know how social media is influencing their changes in advertising for this group of green industry businesses. So we know that social media can help help businesses reach consumers, can help businesses reach buyers, can help create relationships that are virtually primarily, but can also increase brand awareness and kind of help the maturity of the industry. We had the green industry, one of the fastest growing industry in the U.S., and it has become a little bit of stagnant. But first, business owners should integrate computers, internet, and software into the farm management. So this is what basically we did. We had a survey of over 1,000 commercial growers of green industry businesses, and some of them, actually almost half of them, invested in online advertising. So there are a series of advertising expenditures. 40 of them are into social media, or have newsletters, or have any sort of internet or online advertising. And the percentage is about half of the percentage. When they invest in online advertising, half of the money, it goes to online advertising. So how do we define online marketing, social media, email, paid online marketing, newsletters, and search engine marketing? So I'm not going to get very close into the model, but basically we try to understand first is what drives you to do online advertising. So the first hurdle is the probability to adopt in online marketing. And for those who adopted online marketing, how much money they invested and what drives them to invest more or less money. So this graph is just a distribution of people investing in online marketing, and we see a whole variety. We see that most business owners in the green industry tend to go conservative. So they go slower and they increase that. So these are the results. What drives businesses to invest in online advertising? Market channels and access to markets and market diversity, it's very important. And I think that we can all agree that if you know that, if you think that you can have access to a market, you're going to be willing to invest on ways to reach that market, either through value added, either through online marketing or creating new channels. But also knowledge. We know that barriers to understand how technologies work, which is a really, do I have time?
1 minute.
Okay, so I need to go really fast on it. It's going to be very important. If businesses are smaller, they're going to be less likely to adopt any online marketing. And who are the businesses who adopt, who invest more on online advertising? They're going to be small, they do have knowledge, and they're going to be close to large urban areas, which I think it makes very much sense. The second paper is a paper published 2 weeks ago, and it's looking into farm diversification strategies. And this is a survey that we did to, again, farmers of specialty crops in the U.S. But we wanted to look at these groups because the primary reason to understand why farmers are diversifying and why they are adopting a technology of economies of horizontal integration, it's because when we look at the literature of diversification, most diversification, the U.S. defines a diversified operation, an operation that has four crops. And we know that that number of crops for a fruit and vegetable operation is not realistic. So we wanted to define what is a diversified operation. So I'm going to jump right there into that, but I just wanted to show how as the number of crops. We have operations between one crop to less than 50. So defining diversified operations as four crops is really not realistic for our industry. So we looked and we found, again, I'm not going to look into what we did, but basically we did an instrumental variable model, and then we did a quantile regression to understand and define diversification. We found that access to markets, again, is going to increase diversification. Farmers who are organic, and we know that organic increases crop rotation, but also using season extension technologies and having a good combination of market access. Of course, labor, it's a big deterrent to crop diversification just because of the labor issues that we're having right now. And we actually, I think one of the main outcomes of this paper is defining what is a diversified operation. So we, with a quantile regression, we're able to understand What is a specialized operation? What is a low, medium, and high diversified operation? And how barriers and drivers can really impact crop diversification, which I think are very important policies that are currently driving OREI and other funding agencies' projects. So being a minority, being a female, having positive attitudes, sources of information, is actually decreasing that those barriers or increasing or motivating farmers to diversify. Labor access, education, where you are located, and again, information.